most followed brand in Houston sports media.
Hey, that's who?
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
They want to be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Aaron, and it is Justin Verlander Day.
Holy crap.
How about JV back?
Well, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, now listen, it doesn't change anything about Justin Verlander should have been with that team last year. All that stuff doesn't change.
Okay, no,
just because he's
what?
Back.
You know what? The locker room, like I've been saying this. The locker room doesn't care. Okay, come on back, JV. We got a top of the rotation guy.
Well, locker room cared enough for him not to throw out a pitch.
But they're not going to care this year. That was last year.
No, that's fine. And Carlos is going to be gone. But let's also say this. All that stuff is the same. I still think he should have been with the team and all that. That doesn't change at all. My opinion doesn't change just because he's back. You should be with your team. You should do the same thing Lance McCullers did. You don't have to do a ton of it, but you should have been back. But that's not throwing a baseball. That's a separate teammate thing. As far as throwing a baseball, like we said yesterday, you know, it's a shame. Our point was, man, it's a shame about Verlander because, you know, he'd actually be the perfect fit for what the Astros need. Well, holy crap.
And it's $25 million.
2 years, 25. Really.
2 years, 25.
Yeah. One with a player option. So.
Yeah, and he's going to pick that up because I don't know. Well, I don't know. If he pitches really, really well, somebody could give him $30 million
next
year.
No,
that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Somebody could go two at 60 after this year.
If he gets back to JV, listen, okay, so let me ask you this. Who's game one starter?
Well, I mean, it's Verlander.
Oh, really? The way McCullers pitched last year? Yeah. Who starts in opening
Verlander.
Day?
Verlander.
You think?
Yep. Verlander, McCullers, Fromber. Oh, Fromber at three. Wow. You could flip-flop. You could go right, left, right.
Or Urquidy. How's that rotation?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, when you're talking about Urquidy and Garcia, 4 and 5, what?
Well, obviously, James Click was not anticipating adding Justin Verlander. Or he wouldn't have mentioned Christian Javier. He still could have, but Christian Javier to the starter. Now Christian Javier, I guess, becomes your number six and is still that drifter between starter.
Maybe Rizzi's your six.
Yeah, I guess you have to pay him.
You have to pay him. Yes. So hey, and this might even be better. How many innings do you want Justin Verlander to throw after coming off 2 years without throwing?
Well, I mean, 250. Let's just wear it out. Wear it out. Now pick up the option if you want.
I was thinking 150.
Nah, gross. That's so little. You come back strong after Tommy John.
Yeah, but he's going to be 39 opening
day. It's like after getting
he's going to be 39 opening day, and he hasn't thrown
Alonzo,
in 2 years.
Alonzo Highsmith had a knee replacement surgery. Yeah. And Alonzo said, oh, my God, after having a knee replacement, he goes, you feel like you can do anything on that knee. It's incredible.
Yeah.
My dad had one and said, it takes a while to get there, but once he gets there, you realize how bad the other one is. Justin Verlander is in... That arm is probably unbelievable. This is where you ride him heavier than ever.
No.
You say, we'll turn this into a 1 year deal.
No, because he'll take 2 years and he'll pick up his option and then he doesn't play.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. Plus, not only that.
150, though.
How many wins in the World Series does Justin Verlander have in his career? You know why? Zero. Zero. Urquidy has two. Verlander has zero. You know why? Because by the end of the year, he's dead. He's 39. You limit him to about 150 to 175 innings. You go Luis Garcia on him. Listen, Justin, we want you for the end of the year. And look how he wasn't all that great at the end of the year, was he? Now, Garcia. Although he did have a great game for you. He threw one great game for you in the postseason. but here's the deal. Yeah, somebody said, oh, yeah, John, now this just proves your lies. That you just make stuff up for your mediocre career. Listen,
What? Wait, what happened?
Yeah, somebody tweeted me, John, this just proves your lies, and you're just trying to make up for your mediocre career. Listen, I can't make up for my mediocre career. It is what it is, okay? But I'm not lying, okay? It happened. And maybe, and here's the deal, is you'll have a press conference, and maybe Justin Verlander doesn't know. I don't know how Jim Crane explained it to him that night. Because if you'll remember,
he subscribes to Sports Map videos. He'll know.
He might know. But if you'll remember, he probably knows by now. But he might not have known that night. If you'll remember, Mark Berman interviewed Jim Crane before the game, and he said, "Oh, yep, Verlander. You might just see him here tonight." And then you didn't see Justin Verlander there that night. But if Jim Crane denies that happened. With the team and you say Carlos Correa is gone. I don't necessarily think Carlos Correa is gone just because of this. Do you?
I think he's already gone regardless.
Yeah, I think
not because of this.
No, I think there's a good.
I think Carlos is gone. Right. So if there was any kind of beef with Carlos not liking Justin doing that or whatever, if Carlos is the ringleader, it's irrelevant because he's gone.
Listen, Jim Crane has surprised us before. I would not. Are you going to be shocked if Carlos Correa is back with the Astros?
Only time he's ever surprised us is when a deal got done with Verlander, and then they re-signed Verlander. That's the only time Jim Crane is surprised.
Oh,
maybe
really?
You could say Luno surprised.
Greinke? Wasn't a surprise?
Yeah, that was. Well, you knew they were going to try to trade, but.
But not. Bringing in a Zach Greinke? A Hall of Famer?
I mean, that's Luno, too. Why is that a Crane move?
Well, Crane is the. Wait a minute. Crane gets nothing for it? The guy who spends all the money?
Well, I think Luno, the GM, gets it. Well, we don't ever say, do you give.
When else
do we give owners credit for GM move for trades?
All the time. You know why? Because you have to approve it.
Name a football trade that you've ever talked about. The owner did a great job on that trade.
I've never talked about the owner doing a crap job. Cal McNair not stopping the DeAndre Hopkins
trade. Why are we giving Crane credit for trades? I mean, he's trying to go for a championship. Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
But you don't know how many times Drayton said, no, we're not doing that.
Well, then does Crane get the. So do we give Crane the hickey on a bad trade?
No.
Only good trades he gets a thumbs up?
No, he has to approve these things. Actually, he pushed Luno. Actually, he had to push Luno.
Well, Luno was always a little scared.
Yeah.
For whatever weird reason, yes. Luno was always scared.
And so he was like,
okay,
hey.
If Carlos signs for over $30 million a year for 10 years, yes, I will be shocked. I will give Jim Crane a ton of credit.
Well, what about a 32 over 8? You'd be shocked, too.
If he signs for that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Carlos signs for 32 over 8, I'll be shocked. Jim Crane's the greatest owner ever if that happens.
Yeah.
If he's able to get Carlos to take $100 million less, then that's awesome.
Well, it's not $100 million less. 32 over 8?
32. Do the math on that. It's what, 260? It's $80 million less.
Well, no, he's going to. What? $80 million less than who? Lindor? Are you sure he's getting Lindor money?
Well, I'm not sure he's not.
Since when? Who offered him 34 a year for 10 years?
Let's see what happens.
Well, that's not less. I mean,
the last two deals that have been done have been for $340 million at the shortstop position.
Listen, if he takes 32 over 8, that was the best offer out there, probably. Although he probably will take a little bit of a hometown discount. I don't know that that was the case with Verlander. If he gets
to 32 over 8, first of all, that's a great offer by Crane.
Yeah.
I just think that Carlos wants $300 million.
Yeah, he does want $300 million.
I think that's where it starts.
And I want $300 million too. So what?
But you can't. You're not elite. Well, defensively.
But who's offered it to him? Who's offered it to him so
far?
Well,
let's find
out. We haven't seen anybody yet.
Well, no, let's find out. I mean, does it happen that quickly? I don't know. Maybe it does happen that quickly. Other deals have, but they have not been. But Carlos is the top dude on the. He's the top guy in free agency this year, on most lists.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's going to get that 300 somewhere. Because listen, he has a history.
No, but you got to play teams against each other too.
Yeah,
no. That, there's no question. Do you think has Crane offered 832?
No.
Yeah, he's not going to.
Well, you don't know that.
Well, I mean,
he could surprise you.
The 5-1.
Did you know he was going to give Verlander 50? No.
20. No, that's not super surprising to me. That should have been. We talked about what I thought 22 million was. I said for me it was between 22 and 25.
For me it was 375.
It was.
I thought he was going to get 375.
Oh, 375.
Yeah,
we talked. No, that's what we talked about.
Yeah,
we talked about the fact that I thought it would take 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the number we put out there.
Yeah. So well, he took 250.
Yeah, that's not crazy that it's 25 million. I don't. I listen. Jim Crane's a big boy. He's done a great job with the Astros. I'm not going to give him these unbelievable showering of affection. He's doing his job as an owner of making it a competitive team.
No.
That's part of the contract between – that's why we hate Cal does so much.
No, that's right.
That's the contract of owner and city.
But that's exactly right. That's exactly right. When you've got an owner that's actually doing something as opposed to Cal, you can give him some love. Good Lord.
Jim Crane hasn't gotten love?
Cal was running
Jim
the
Crane
Astros.
Doesn't get love?
Well, I mean, I'm just giving him love
Jim
for
Jim Crane
right
gets
now.
Love all the time. It's
Listen.
Hey, how about Click get a little love for doing what getting this deal done?
What if, again, Click doesn't do it unless he gets the okay.
But what? Okay. So he's not, so any deal, but the bad deals Click gets?
No.
Bad trades, Click is on it?
No. Listen. No. Yeah, cool. Of course.
That's just crazy that only Crane gets the deals you like, but if there's something you don't like, that's a GM move. That's insane.
Listen, of course Luno got the Alvarez credit, right?
Yeah, because he tricked the Dodgers. They gave the wrong Alvarez.
But Jim Crane had nothing to do with that. But when it's spending $33 million, $66 million on Justin Verlander, that's the owner.
All that is, that's also, on this particular one, it probably is more owner-based. That's probably true because it's
it's
relationship-based.
And yeah, but hold on.
You want to give him praise for every good thing that happens with the Astros.
No, not every
it's
good thing.
Always
every
Jim
good
Crane.
Thing. I know the difference, okay? I know. If it's Correa, it's Jim Crane. If Correa gets signed here, it's Jim Crane.
Jim Crane also gave 66. I think there's, well, what we read yesterday, what Mark Berman talked about, I guess, or no, this was an article on ESPN I saw. There was also a belief that there was some guilt from Justin Verlander for the money he took over the last 2 years.
Well,
and he was more willing to be open to this because I did get $66 million for nothing.
Right.
I did get $66 million, so maybe I'll just give them a little.
Wasn't that nice of him to let Jim give him $50 million
after
more?
After Tommy John surgery, say, you know what? I'll take $8 million less.
Yeah.
I mean, I want the player option on the second year, obviously.
You know what? Wasn't that nice of him to take $50 million because he took $66 million? That was nice. Good for him. Love that. No, listen, I'm thrilled that Justin Verlander. I think McCullers is opening day starter. I do. The way he pitched last year, I do. I think that McCullers is opening day starter if he's healthy. If he can throw this offseason. If Verlander's two.
It'd be a nice touch.
If Verlander's two, well, maybe because Verlander's a Hall of Famer, you just do Verlander opening day. Maybe.
That's my thought.
Maybe. But I think you got to limit his innings. I think you got to have him healthy for the postseason. Because, listen, if you had Verlander and McCullers in the World Series this year, who wins that World Series?
I don't know. I mean, Verlander hasn't been great in World Series.
No, that's true. I can't give him wins. Well,
but how many starts is should we expect from Justin Verlander? Just 30, 34?
Hopefully he'll get every.
I mean, that's an average of 5 innings. What you're talking about, 150, that's 5 innings per start.
6 innings per start.
Yeah, it's 180.
180. Yeah, I said now 175. That's more, 175, 180.
Okay, that's more realistic to me. The Garcia, they were looking at 150, 160. That's 180 is more realistic. And Justin Verlander's not a guy that throws a bunch of sharp bending, hard torquing curveballs either. So I think that's going to be a little easier on his arm potentially. I don't think it's going to change, man. I think the Astros will manage him. I think Justin Verlander is going to be able to give you 7 innings whenever he needs.
Well, I know, but I think you have to go into him and you have to go. Listen, you're 39. We want you around. We don't want you to wear out that arm. We want you to be around for the postseason. We want you to be strong for the postseason. I think you do it smart.
It is just amazing that we're in a time now where all 5 starters getting past the 6th inning is like a miracle, and you wonder why bullpens wear down.
Yeah,
I mean, the bullpens are going to be so heavily used. And this is around baseball. It's just not with the Astros. This is what it is now. Your bullpen are just a second set of starters. You know, there's guys you like who you go to a lot, and there's guys you don't like as much. And that's what it is. It's like, okay, we don't want our starters to go as many innings, but we really don't want them to see the lineup the third time around. It's a self-check, really. Like, well, we don't want our starter to see the lineup, you know, 3 times. Like
that,
I don't know how I feel about that.
Right.
Because if you have a team's, and remember, who is it? It's Fromber, I think, to get stronger the third time around as opposed to the first time around. At least this year.
His numbers were fine. All right, 713-780-3. Hey, what do you think about Verlander coming back? 713-7, let's go. 713-780-3776.
It's a good day.
It's a great day.
It's a good day that Verlander's back.
The Rockets lost another game, and it's a great day. You know. And it's still a great day. 1-13, and it's still a great day.
When we come back, we'll briefly touch on where the Rockets are currently headed, because their pathway has been determined, and it is historical.
It is historic. It's historical. What's going on right now? Right now, though, we're talking about Aqueduct Plumbing. We're talking about Billy and Mary, and we're talking about just a great company, a locally owned and operated company that will reach. If you can hear us, they will go there. Beaumont to through past Katy, up through past the Woodlands, Conroe. They'll go all the way down to Galveston. Maybe they'll even go in the water. I don't know, because they're plumbers. They'll do whatever. And here's the deal, is they'll come to your home and they'll come absolutely free. And it doesn't matter what it is. And they've got, listen, there's so much. If you're hearing noises out of your sink when you turn the water on, that's a bad thing. If your water heater is not actually giving you hot water, or it's not lasting, there's all kinds of stuff. The tankless water heater, the one day repipe, they're unbelievable how good they are. You will love them.
Yeah, and even if it's just something, you know, we're talking about bigger jobs, but just leaky faucets and water leaking at the fixtures, they do that as well. I mean, that's more than likely what you're needing right now. So make sure that you you put this in your bookmarks, thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, I don't know if you're on Twitch right now, but if you are, you can see, man, oh, man, the hair looks good today. And here's the, well, it's every day. It's all because of Doc Linville. And, you know, and I got a little thing going with Jackie. I feel bad for him. I don't want to. You know, I don't want to keep on, you know, hounding him because, you know, he doesn't have hair. But here's the deal, is you're just a better person if you have hair. That's all. It's just, you're just better. And so, you know, Jackie's down low on the totem pole there. But here's the deal, is if you're tired of not having hair, you got a bald spot, you have receding hairline. If you're somebody that really, really, really is, you know, just sick of it, and your friends are making fun, all of this, and you're not getting, you know, maybe you're not getting the attraction that you want from the opposite sex. Whatever the case may be, if you're looking for hair, Doc Linville, it's your hair. It's natural. It's not a rug. It is your hair that he moves to the top of your head. It is natural. So if you're looking for that, come on, 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:18 on ESPN 97.5. We called for calls. We'll talk Rockets in just a little bit. But we got Verlander. Verlander is much more important. How about the Astros in the offseason? It's November. We got Rockets and Texans, and there's absolutely nothing that you can talk about with them. We got Cougar football, Cougar basketball, which is much more important than any of that. But Justin Verlander re-signing with your Houston Astros is first and foremost. All you got to do is give us a call, 713-780-3776.
Let's play it like the what did you learn from the weekend? What are your thoughts on Justin Verlander in one sentence?
One sentence.
Make it that simple.
A quick thought.
Yeah, and we can get you in. I'm extraordinarily happy about this. Once again, nothing changes with I don't think he was a very good teammate last year. I really don't. I want to make sure that this doesn't look hypocritical, because that's separate from the pitching stuff.
Absolutely.
From a pitching stuff standpoint, oh my God. They needed another starter. I think they do. James Click acted like they were fine, but they needed Justin Verlander.
It's not hypocritical. Listen, I'm the one that sent that out. I broke that. I sent that out
first.
No,
you didn't. Bob Nightingale had it.
Well, he just had it this week, but I don't give a rat's ass. So they had an issue with Justin Verlander. So what? Justin Verlander is pitching for the Astros this year. Awesome.
The locker room is the only one that matters. Like,
and you know
our
what?
Opinion
and you know what?
Matter.
They're not going to give a rat's
ass. He gives them a chance to win.
That's exactly right. And he's Justin Verlander. You know what? They're all going to go, yeah, we wish you were here.
But also,
hey, ho, we wish you were here last year, but you're here now.
But also, the Carlos dynamic. We did a SportsMap video about it, too, just a couple days ago.
Yeah, but
we talked about why the Astros might be slow, why Justin Verlander may be slow rolling this. You know, if with Carlos, the locker room leader, out of there, it also might make it different. I don't know. Lance McCullers is very tight with
I don't know. You don't know, and I don't know Carlos's thoughts on the whole thing anyway, though.
No.
I mean, yeah, we don't.
No, we don't know Carlos's thoughts on it. We just know he's the locker room leader.
He's the leader. He's been the leader, but... But
things don't happen like that without Carlos being a part of it.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, it's probably at least, and it's not going to be just Carlos. We also said this yesterday. It's not a one-man show. If Jim Crane shuts down Verlander, or if Verlander shuts it down and says, you know what, the guys are not happy, Jim, then that's fine. I don't have to throw out a first pitch. But that's not going to be one player in the locker room. And especially if it's Carlos, he's a team guy. That's going to come from, you know, multiple players.
Yeah.
And that's what made it a little bit surprising that Verlander's coming back to me.
Absolutely. Not one player wouldn't have gone by himself. It had to be a bunch of players. But you know what? If Justin Verlander stands in front of them in spring training and maybe just says, hey, guys, I'm sorry. Yep, I should have been there. You know, I apologize. They're all going to go, think it matters. Who cares?
I don't think it, I mean, they get a chance to win.
That's right.
Look, Richard Sherman, people hate, who was it? San Francisco hated Richard Sherman, and then Richard Sherman came over, and they don't care.
What about you, mad bro? And they're playing together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So and these are all teammates. Like, these aren't Justin isn't an enemy.
Yeah.
They probably just weren't happy with that, but it's really irrelevant when it comes to pitching. And Justin Verlander being on this team is really, you want to talk about taking a load off. Just look at the difference, John, between you add Justin Verlander now. Now when you look at the rotation, before it was, well, McCullers and Fromber, I mean, you're good, you're deep, but you know, you're not sure. Now you look at it and it's amazing what adding one guy who could be SP1 like Verlander has been his whole career, boy, it changes perspective. McCullers is a 2, Fromber is a 3, and then you go Urquidy and Luis Garcia at 4-5. Oh, that's fun. And now you've got, Odorizzi in the pen. I'm not going to be too excited about, but it's, yeah. Now you add a bullpen arm or two. I don't know who's going away, though. I haven't seen who's leaving as a free agent because James Click said, we want to get bullpen arms. Okay. That sounds great.
Well,
who's
Maton is a free agent. And
do you want Maton back?
Yes.
I kind of do now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't at one point.
No.
Is Stanek a free agent? Probably is.
No, Stanek's not a free
He's
agent.
He's not?
But Graveman's a free agent. And Yimi's a free agent. We knew that because we picked
all
up.
Three guys they traded for free agents.
Yeah, so...
I don't think they keep Yimi.
I don't know. Yimi looked pretty damn good.
I think Yimi's going to ask for some money. I think he's going to be gone.
I don't know. He didn't pitch well enough to ask for a lot of money.
Well, who are the relief? Well, if James Click says you need relievers, who's gone then?
Well, you might lose those guys. You don't know you're getting back.
Yeah.
You might lose them. Terry is here. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just went listening to you this morning. What you guys know, I love your show. You guys are incredible. Best radio talk show I've ever seen. My question is this, listening to you about Verlander this morning, and I understand your point, you know, how many innings is he going to be able to go? So my question is it even possible for consideration that maybe throughout the regular season they just consider him like a closer, you know, give him a couple of innings at the end of the game just to keep his arm healthy and worked out and saving for the postseason and not stress him out too bad in the regular season? Is that even a possibility?
No. No, not a 20, especially at $25 million. No, he's going to be game one or two, game two starter. And you know what? I think the thing that you got to convince him, because he wants to go 7, 8, even finish his games, the thing that you got to convince him is that it's best for you, it's best for the team, it's best for our chances to win it all. What's best is you pitching 6 innings a game. That's best. And you know what? We're going to suffer for it, maybe with the reliever coming in and blowing up one of your wins, but we just got to put up with that because we need you in the postseason. You're 39 years old. You haven't pitched in 2 years. Want to make sure that elbow's healthy. 180 innings would be, I think, awesome. Would you take 180 right now out of Justin Verlander?
Yes, but a thought came to my head. What if Verlander is like, oh, my arm. And then collects $50 million over the next 2 years. He goes 160.
And then he comes
four
back.
Four for 116. What if that were to happen? Or if he's bad this year.
Well, and then
picks up the option next year. people in Houston, their opinion of Verlander will change if that happens.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he's got to be good this year. If he comes back and he's like 5-7 with a 426 and then picks up his option next year at $25 million, and everyone's like, oh, my God, retire. And then it turns into a $116 million four-year deal. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
116 for one inning. Well, hopefully he throws more than that.
Well, I said in my scenario, let's give him 7 wins for 8 wins. Because he got a win that one game, right? That was a win. Didn't he? He went 6 innings, I think. Innings. Yeah. I think that was a win.
Won. I think they won. Yeah.
It was Seattle. It was the very first game of the year.
Yeah, good. All right, so one win. One win for $66 million. That's expensive, I think.
It feels like a lot.
Jay is here. Let's get Jay in here. What up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, just a quick thought on this signing. I applaud the Cranes for finally stepping up, getting Cade back to the city. You know, she's getting up there, but has not taken anything off the fastball. Continual deliver. I mean, we need more camera shots, more zooming in, and that wide club to be exactly where they've been for the last 2 years. Appreciate it, Jim Crane.
Coming to the Cade Upton, you know, I mean, that's obviously a consideration. It's a little creepy, but yeah, okay, all right. You're happy for the Cade Upton signing, okay? Hey, well, listen, you marry a model. I guess that's what you get.
I never see Cade
Upton. I'm just thrilled. You know what? This is, dude. If the Astros had McCullers and Verlander
Are we even sure on McCullers?
No.
Like, we haven't, I'm just Jim saying, we Crane, haven't had heard anything right now, right?
Click did not sound like he's worried at all. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure. You never know. They lie all the time. But you never know. I'm hoping, but maybe this is a sign that maybe you got to have a top of the rotation guy because you're not sure. You had to have this top of the rotation.
How many pizzas did Crane send to the Granado residence last night?
None.
Dell.
None. I'm a big fan. All right. Listen, here's the deal, Lance. You know this as well as I do. It all starts at the top. Mm-hmm. Look at the Texans with their ownership.
I'm very happy Jim Crane is the owner of the Astros.
Look at the Astros. Look at the Patriots.
I don't know about
that. Anyway, look at Tampa. Look at Pittsburgh. Right. Look at those teams and how they go about it. If we had an owner that was a tight, we had one in Drayton.
Jim Crane is not no one said Jim Crane is a bad owner. Jim Crane is a good owner. I think it's fair not to just say Jim gets every credit for every trade made. I mean, there's a lot of negotiation.
There is no trade here. This was a signing.
That was my comment about Zach Greinke and everything, trades. I don't think Jim Crane should get the thumbs up on every good thing, and then he gets nothing for things that don't go right. I don't think it's okay if fans get a little worked up about Carlos Correa leaving, even though I think that it's not a smart move to sign him. I think it's okay for fans to get upset.
Jim Crane had to push Luno to do the Verlander deal. He had to push him because there was one player. He had to push him to do the Zach Greinke deal. Now, other deals that Jeff Luno did or James Click is doing, he's like, okay, do it. You think that's what makes us better? Then do it. Go ahead. Whatever. But in the big, big deals, the owner has to sign off on.
And we give, there's a level of credit that you get. Les Alexander got credit for some of the trades that he said, yes,
yeah,
you have my blessing. I give Crane the de facto, you have my blessing to get this stuff done. I give him that. He doesn't not get that credit. He gives that credit. I think the GMs deserve the credit for getting deals done, generally speaking. The Verlander thing to me is more than likely this has a lot less to do with Click isn't the one who brought him in. I'm sure Click has what relationship would Click even have with Justin Verlander, honestly?
Probably didn't talk to him.
The guy wasn't even in town ever. I mean, so it's clearly an owner. I mean, this is an owner who gave $66 million and didn't get anything out of it. That's an owner-pitcher relationship. No. I totally get that. That's Jim Crane doing a good job there. But it's like Click is kind of a forgotten man at times. He doesn't talk a lot in the media. He wasn't here building the 2017 World Series champion team. But he's done a pretty good job.
No, he's done nice, sir.
He's done a pretty good job. Oh. I mean, you know, the relievers were better in a postseason than they were in a regular season. That was... It didn't look great in a regular season. All of a sudden, the postseason, this is where it matters most.
Yimi and Maton. Graveman kind of fell off
Graveman
a little bit.
Was the other way, but
7:30 ESPN, 97.5. We'll keep talking about Verlander all day because we got...
Do you want to get to Rockets?
Nothing. guess.
I didn't have to buy anyone shots yesterday.
I know you didn't. But I have to listen. Did they cover? No, they just missed out by about 8 points.
Eight or nine points. It was close. What was the final on that one, John? They were getting 3.5. What was the final on that? They lost by 12. They missed by 9 points.
9 points, that's all.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. No, it's just so bad. But here's the deal, is you can make money. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. You can make money on if you think a team is going to win, if you think a team is going to lose. You know, surprisingly, your Texans cover more than you think.
4-5.
4-5. For one of the worst teams in football, that's pretty good.
By the way, Jalen Green was – did you have action on his over-under on his on his plus-minus?
No.
It was 21, minus 21.5. He was minus 15. He went under.
He hit the under.
He went under.
Yeah. So if you're looking for – hey, listen, the odds on everything at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. And by the way, they will match up to $1,000 on any deposit that you make. That's unbelievable. Boxing, motorsports, golf, soccer, MLB, basketball, CFL, Aussie rules football, cycling, entertainment. What? I mean, who want esports? You want to bet on esports? You want to bet on surfing? You can bet on surfing. Table tennis. It's unbelievable. So whatever you want, whatever you're an expert in, you got it. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
CarsForKids.org, that's your website. Get there and check out everything that they're about. They want to make sure that young people who are looking for a diploma but have struggled in school or have had hindrances in their road to a diploma get the best chance they can to be successful. It's for their good. It's for the good of society, everybody, that people succeed, man. And that's what Houston Canton Academy is trying to do, help them succeed. And Cars for Kids wants to be that mechanism that can help them succeed. What they'll do is they'll come out and they'll haul off your car, your truck, your motorcycle. It doesn't matter if it's running or not running. If it's running, great. If it's not running, that's great too. They'll come out, they'll pull it off your property, and you'll get a $50 Visa gift card when you mention you heard about it on ESPN 97.5. You're also going to get a tax write-off, which is cool, because when tax season comes around, it's nice to have that write-off. Gives you a chance to write off the car and not the kid. Make sure you check them out online at carsforkids.org.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
As the announcement said earlier, my promo, I have my voice, we will be live tomorrow at Kobos in Edo, East Downtown,
2012
Rusk.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be there at 7 o'clock. We'll do our show there. But then after that, Charlie or whoever is playing the role of Charlie tomorrow will be out there. Joel and Jeremy, the Killer Bees, are going to be out there. So we will be out there as a station from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. From what I understand, there's going to be food, and from what I understand, there's going to be beverages available for purchase.
It's a bar / restaurant.
Yeah, available for purchase out there. So that's my understanding, is that's going to take place. Our guys from Apollo Media, I know, are going to be out there. They're good friends with Kobos. I think they're going to have their I'm not sure. I think they may put their merchandise out there. But we'll have Dez and his guys out there. He's a really cool story. I met and talked to him. He got in early on crypto.
Oh, yeah?
And hit, and was like, you know what? I'm going to start my own media group.
Good for him.
And I think the John Boy idea, I'm not saying they're copying John Boy, but the John Boy idea, whether you like him or not, he's following the Barstool methodology of how you create your own media group. John Boy's done that with some success, and now these guys in Houston are looking to do that, and they've had some success. I mean, you know who they've had? Let's see, Kyle Tucker, Strami, Carlos, McCullers, all on their podcast. They get guests, man. The Astros like them. The players like them.
Good.
So anyway, I know they're going to be out there, and then DJs. He's got two different DJs throughout the day who are going to be playing. Hopefully not during our particular show,
that's,
where you'll be able to hear, but he's going to have DJs, I think, outside. There's an inside and an outside component, so it's going to be pretty cool. What else? What else do we have tomorrow? I don't know. Whatever else Cobos.
Well, and if you so if you work downtown, make a point to stop beforehand. Maybe go in a little bit late, whatever the case may be. Hang out with us at Cobos Q. It's right there on Chartres. Well, just a block off Chartres, right there. No, actually, it's right there at Chartres and Rusk. So come and hang out with us, which is Chartres is the feeder road for 59 when you get up near Minute Maid Park. So easy to get to, yeah. And right there.
By the way, and just quickly, Rockets, I talked about them being on a historical track. Right now, they're on pace for just over 6 wins, mathematically.
6.3.
The worst team in league history were the Charlotte Bobcats. It was during the lockout shortened season of 2011-2012.
66 games.
They were 7-59 with a 106 winning percentage.
What's the worst with 82 games?
The worst with 82 is the 92-93 Mavs, which were a tanking, which were the first team that were officially tanking. 92-93. They were 11-71 with a 134 winning percentage.
This team is a lock to beat that.
134 winning percentage.
And actually,
this team is lower than a 100 winning percentage. I mean, it's on pace to be the worst team in the history of basketball. Now, that may be a little harsh when you look at what they did yesterday. The Rockets played Oklahoma City, who had 5 wins. They were 5-8 coming into the game. Not exactly a juggernaut. The Rockets shot 35% from the field, 28 from 3, 68 from the free throw line, almost got to 70. They were out-rebounded by 10, and their assist-to-turnover was 16 assists to 14 turnovers.
That's not good.
That is horrific. 16
All
assists.
All of them are horrific.
16
All of those
assists
things.
And 14 turnovers. They played a below average team and were terrible in every category.
That is just awful. I mean, that's just
And they're not
awful.
On they're not on an official tank. It's just put players out there and you're on a tank. It's not on a let's not play these guys tank. This is a play who we got, and it's a tank.
Is this?
But they're fun to watch.
Well, no, they're not. Is this how close
hashtag
would you identify this to the Astros' 100 lost seasons?
Oh, well, the only difference is you actually have. See, here's the thing. I think KPJ. I'm not a big fan of having him on my team. If I'm trying to build towards something, I really wasn't last year. I don't get vibes that he's a team leader or a guy who you can depend on. I've never gotten that. It hasn't been who he's been personality-wise the whole year. And I mean, his whole career. And then when you look at, you know, from a talent standpoint, he's wildly up and down. To me, I don't want 2 Jalen Greens. KPJ and Jalen Green feel like they're just the same kind of player. For me, he's more talented than what the Astros had. I guess he was like the Altuve and Jalen Green. Hey, Jalen Green hasn't done enough to prove that he's anything yet. I mean, Jalen Green is a guy who has some sweet highlights from time to time. Jalen Green hasn't proven anything as a player up to this point in his career in 15 games. He really hasn't. So, yeah, I think there is something to be said. I think in baseball there was a bona fide tank where they weren't going to spend money on free agents just to make them moderately competitive. But it's not like they were a team that was, you know, well, we could be a 90-win team or we could be a 75-win team, but we're going to tank. No, the Astros were going to be bad. They didn't have talent either. So, yes, they were just not a good team back then. So I think there is something to be said for these two situations. I don't think it's tanking intentionally. I think it's just they're not very good, and they're not trying their hardest to become mediocre, which is fine. Although I would argue the Rockets are not on any kind of – I think the Rockets probably thought, yeah, what will you be 15 games in the season? I think the Rockets would have told you, you know what, I think no worse than 6-9, 7-8, maybe 5 wins at the worst. I'll bet you the Rockets would have said that if you ask Rafael Stone before the year. I bet he would have said – looking at the entire schedule, what would you have been? He might have said 4 wins will be our absolute bottom worst, is my guess. 4-11. Because that's not, by the way, that's not good.
No. Yeah, I would have thought that they would be. Well, didn't we? All,
I would have thought.
Didn't we all
been,
think that they had more talent than this?
Yeah, you know, we thought they would be fun. To, you know that yeah. they'd be an entertaining product. So I would have
now,
thought maybe.
Now the question is Silas the right guy? Because what they're doing right now, if he
Silas
doesn't,
is dead man walking.
If he doesn't make some changes, that it's just it's
and we're past the point where you don't give him any.
Nobody's getting any better to either.
Listen, Paul. I mean, listen, Stephen. Your job's on the line here. You're going to have to start having a heavier hand. Keep guys out of the lineup. Do whatever, because if not, your job's going to be, and you may be dead man walking anyway. You may be a lame duck head coach anyway. But if you know you're going out, at least don't go out like a sucker. Go out,
yeah, sucker.
Go out like go out doing what you know is the right thing to do offensively and defensively. Demand it of your players. Leak information to media if you need to. That hey, these guys aren't coachable. I don't care what it takes. Right now, it's by all means necessary if you're Steven Silas to save your job, because I got to tell you, if I'm the owner, I don't see any reason to keep him other than he might be inexpensive. And if we're going to lose, why not just, I'm not going to add to it with another coach. The problem with thinking like that, though, is if you let a bad attitude or a non-competitive attitude fester in a locker room, you have to cut it out. Like it's going to be a problem. The longer you go where you're not competitive and you're okay with not being competitive, then all of a sudden you got coaches getting on buses screaming at people to hit the portal. That's what happens.
Well, it seems like there's an immaturity level on this basketball team. I mean, there's too many.
Yeah,
you want a lot of young talent. There's too many young guys on this team.
I think there are some players on the team that think it's a problem.
Yeah.
So that's why at some point the coach will be gone. I don't see any way Silas is going to survive this, but if you know they're going to be bad, I mean, Tillman might say, you know what, I ain't doing anything until after the year's over. And I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
If that's what it takes to get the first pick next year, too, that's fine.
Still ahead, Pat Forte joins us at the top of the hour here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Can I tease something that we should do? What would happen if we worked? There is an issue for a broadcast team.
I know.
And I want to explore what would happen if John and Lance worked on a collegiate broadcast. How quickly would the suspensions and fines roll in?
It wouldn't take long. I know that. Especially these guys got suspended for a game.
We'll tell you why. Tell you why they got suspended. I read what they got suspended for, and all I could think of was, we can't work in the Big 12.
I can't tell you what. Well, here's the deal, too, is if I got the week off, you suspend me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to drink Coors Lights. If you don't suspend me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to drink Coors Lights. If I'm doing the game, I probably won't drink Coors Lights during the game per se. Maybe. I don't know. I never during the Roughnecks games, I never drank a Coors Light. It was never offered to me though. So there's that. If somebody offered me, now I've got a problem. Now we got a conundrum. But here's the deal. Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. I'm going to take one usually every time. Only if it's, you know, a dire circumstance and I can't have one. But if you're looking for a great beer that, you know, will refresh you, that you'll really, really like. I mean, we are big Coors Light enthusiasts. I'll be one tomorrow over at Cobos Q, all right? If you're looking for a Coors Light, cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, it's the world's most refreshing beer. Climb on, brother.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
While I was doing that Coors Light commercial, Raul texted me, and he said, the first 10 people that asked for a Coors Light on the house tomorrow.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, we were going to have to give away 10 Coors
Lights. Are we also doing first 10 people birria tacos?
No. He said no. Oh. He just, no.
What you don't know is he made you a shirt that on the back, like a jersey, it says The House.
Oh,
speaking of shirts with jerseys on it, did you watch? Okay. Succession had one of the funniest. Uncle Greg wanting to sue his grandpa, but lovingly sue him and take action against him was maybe the funniest thing I've heard in an 8-second clip. But then did you by any chance watch Larry David with the Klansmen?
No.
All I'm going to tell you is that you know how things happen, you know, fortuitously, and then it leads to something
is
else.
Is there a new season of Larry David?
Oh, yeah. They're on episode number four.
I don't watch Larry David.
He bumps into a Klansman who's just coming out of a dry cleaner with his, you know, clean robe, and he gets coffee all over it. And Larry's like, you know, the right thing is for me to clean it. So he takes his cleaner. His cleaner, who is Jewish, is like, I'm excuse me? He goes, yeah, well, you know, he goes, listen, I understand. You know, he goes, no. He goes, I got the coffee on it. It's my duty, you know, to get it clean. He goes, yeah, it's your duty. So it's also your duty to take it out of my dry cleaner and take it somewhere else. He goes, I understand. He goes, listen, for a Klansman, he's pretty good. You know, he's not bad for a Klansman. He's not bad for a Klansman. Yeah, as a Klansman, he's okay as a Klansman. It's that whole thing. And then him and Larry end up, you know, Larry takes it out to his house. You know, the Jewish guy ends up not doing it. Like, yeah. He's like, oh, we just lost it. I lost his robe. Sorry. So Larry has to go talk to the Klansman. Listen, I got someone else. So Susie, of course, you know, we see her sewing earlier. So Larry asked her to make a robe for the guy. It's just, trust me, when you see this is some of the best Larry David, I can't believe I'm watching this, moments that you'll see.
Yeah, he makes me too nervous. I don't watch that show.
This one is so far out there, you can't believe it. But so a couple things I need to clean up. Okay, John Wall is not playing, so maybe that is kind of tanky. Maybe that is intentional tanky. Yeah. That's a good point that I think Connor brought up. And then the other one was, I accidentally read the wrong team on the list, because I was going over this. The number two worst team is the Mavericks at 11-71. The worst team is the 72-73 76ers. They were 9-73 with the 110 winning percentage. Right now, I don't think it's outrageous that the Rockets end up as the worst team that's ever played basketball.
No, I don't think it's outrageous. It's likely. Right now, it's likely. It's actually probably the favorite. They're on pace for 6.3 wins. That's what they're on pace for.
Yeah, but they're in an unbelievably bad run. And they have had, I mean, it's not crazy that they could win 2 games in 10 games. And if that happens, you know, if they go 2-8, that immediately screws up the win percentage thing for you.
Yeah, if they go 2-8, yeah.
Because that'd be, three out of 25.
So what have you seen of this team that they look like a 200 team?
Well, I mean, yesterday they grabbed 46 rebounds.
Yeah. Did they?
Yeah. I mean, the other team grabbed 56.
Yeah, right.
They had 16 assists yesterday.
They had 14 turnovers?
Yeah, but I mean, if you cut that down to 3 turnovers.
Listen, all right, so if we were announcing this Rockets team, I don't know how long we would last.
Well, Tillman would fire us.
Yeah, Tillman would fire us.
But we wouldn't be going after, like, I've worked with other hosts who go after officials about everything, right? Yeah. And I'm not bash the official guy. Or even bash the umpire guy. I think there's a chance that we might have said some things during the World Series when was behind the plate.
Oh, yeah.
I think we would have gotten fired up in the World Series. You and I might have said some things. We might have said some ugly things about the refereeing, but that's fine, right?
Joe West with the ball in right field. If we were up,
yeah, but the umpire, you can rag on the umpires, can't you?
So this is the Texas Tech announcers. During the Iowa State game?
Yeah, last Saturday.
Iowa State game. Here, and this is the condensed
version. Happened multiple times. So, full disclosure, John and I have not heard this. We read about it. We have not heard the actual audio. So we're going to hear this for the first time, and we'll see if this is all that bad. Okay, because we would say some things. I've told people to suck the hole on their radio before.
Let's do it.
I'll say it right now. The Big 12 does not want Iowa State to lose this game.
Yeah, Bob Bowlesby, you need to answer to this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen some horrendous calls today. This is ridiculous.
The inconsistency of this referee crew in favor of Iowa State today, unbelievable.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Unbelievable. Well, maybe the referee has a concussion and he needs to get a trainer, because he's acted like it this whole game.
This has been a remarkable day and a remarkably horrible day of officiating by this crew.
Yeah, the Big 12 should be embarrassed. The Big 12 should be embarrassed with this crew. And you know, we've only pointed out two guys. I'm going to read them all to you. Michael Vanderveld, the referee. The umpire, Robert Richeson. John Braun, the head linesman. The line judge, Darren Decker. Robert Asel, the field judge. Side judge, Fulton Carson. Brian Ernest, the back judge. The center judge, Chris Talent. And Gene Semko, the replay official. That is your officiating crew, people. Tech fans, you need to get on your feet. You need to scream. You need to do what is the positive thing for a fan to do and support your team down there. Because it's not your team doing this. It's the guys in stripes. First and goal from the 9 now for Iowa State. Tech up by 10. 7:25 left to play. Regulation. And the Wildcat, and it's Breece Hall, who's going to get caught from behind by Devin Drew. No gain on the play. It'll be second down and goal from the 9. And the Red Raiders celebrate a little bit. They better be careful because these officials will throw a flag if they sneeze.
Wow.
So my fair part is when he docks the Hulk. Here's all the officials, and he reads them down. I was waiting for him to get, and here's their addresses, Tech fans. Do your thing. Get out to their houses and put damage on them. Like, whoa. Okay, that was...
Here's the schools that their children attend.
I would say that was a narrative that they had going on throughout the broadcast.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the bad officiating.
So they got suspended by... And listen, they called out Bob Bowlsby. And yeah. Bob Bowlsby's the one who suspended him.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Bowlsby said, you guys ain't... No. Here's what we're going to do. You calling me out? Watch this. You're suspended.
It's like John Gruden's emails. How did that... What did he say about the commissioner again?
Yeah, that's exactly
how it would you think you were going to drop that on the commissioner and that was going to be okay?
We'll get back to that a little bit later in the show. Right now, we got Pat Forty going to join us on this side. Maybe we'll ask him about it. I'm sure he knows about
we
it.
We would for sure get fired.
Yeah, no question. Right now, though, Absolute Marble and Granite, if you've got to fire off something in your house, I mean, listen, it is horrible. If you haven't done anything, I don't know how old your home is. If it's 10, 15, 20 years old. If it's 20 years old and you haven't done anything, if you haven't fixed those countertops, if you haven't redone the kitchen, if you haven't redone any of the bathrooms or dens, or it's getting old, bro. And guess what? You ain't got a 20-year-old home that you haven't remodeled, you haven't updated the floors, whatever it is that you got to do, the outdoor. If it's getting old and when you try to sell it, it just ain't going to happen. Or just make it more livable, just nicer for you to live in. Forget about the money that it's going to, you know, generate for you, although that is kind of a big deal. But it's just more livable for you, a much nicer place, because Jeff Aronoff does that. You're looking for somebody to come and remodel that? Jeff Aronoff's here for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5.